We now turn to read God's word, and our reading is from the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to read part of the very first chapter of Deuteronomy. This book has been written within a matter of months of their going to cross the Jordan, and in it Moses is recounting the vital experiences in the life of God's people. So we break in to read at verse 19. And when we departed from Horeb, that is Mount Sinai, after they came out of Egypt, we went through that great and terrible wilderness which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by which way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And this saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up unto the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God hath give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater than taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God who goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went, until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you, to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by which way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, Thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua the son of Nun, who standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before the Lord. But the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So you abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. Amen. And we look to the Lord for his blessing and understanding given to us in that reading of his own holy word. We continue our worship, coming this time to the words of Psalm 77. Psalm 77 and at verse 11. Yea, I remember will the works performed by the Lord. The wonders done of old by thee I surely will record. I also will of all thy works my meditation make, and of thy doings to discourse great pleasure I will take. O God, thy way most holy is within thy sanctuary. And what God is so great in power as is our God most high? Thou art the God that wonders dost, by thy right hand most strong. Thy mighty hand thou hast declared the nations among. To thine own people with thine arm thou didst redemption bring, to Jacob's sons and to the tribes of Joseph that do spring. Psalm 77 from 11 through to 15. Yea, I remember will the works. I want this evening to come back to that portion we read together from the book of Deuteronomy, that very first chapter, and particularly to think of the experience that is given us there from verse 19 onwards of the going up to Kadesh Barnea that is spoken of at the end of verse 19. And the way in which the Lord says to these people, do not be afraid. The way in which they were afraid of what was in store for them and what was waiting for them. And not to be discouraged because of it. What I want to do is that today we have set, this day has been set for us to meet with the Lord, to look, to listen for encouragements as we cross from one year into another. None of us knows what this year will hold for us. None of us knows what it will bring to us. It is unknown, but it is not uncertain. We come and we open a new book. Each month is a chapter. Each page is a day. And as we read and as we go through each page and as we go through each day, we are confronted with the unfolding wisdom of God suited for each and every one of us. But we're called to trust in the Lord as we go through these days, because we do not always understand what happens for us and to us. At the very time it's coming, the significance of it might be lost upon us. Or how that fits into God's counsels and purposes to us. And whenever we're confronted with that lack of understanding, whenever we face the future and we do not know what it holds for us, we may be afraid of that future. And it is that very situation that is addressed for us here in the experience of these people as they've come to Kadesh Barnea. They were afraid of the future. And what I want to try to do tonight is to look at this experience. We've been looking at Deuteronomy on and off quite some time now, but I want to look at it from a different approach and perspective, and to see what lessons we can take with us that are applicable to us at the threshold of this new year. And the question is, are we afraid of the future? These people were. But they had no right to be so afraid, because their future was secure. Where they came from Horeb to Mount Sinai, from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea, It was an 11-day journey. It covered approximately 100 miles. But the whole tribe and nation were on that walk and movement. And when they got to Kadesh Barnea, they were weary and they were tired. They had been through a wilderness in these days of journey, and they expected that the worst was now over. They were almost there on the land, going into the land the Lord had promised for them. A few more steps and they would be in Canaan. In God's goodness, they were at the threshold of victory. But there was this one great obstacle they had yet to confront. They had to pass through this land, the Ammonite territory. It was dangerous. It was threatening. It was intimidating. And we can understand how easily it could be to be afraid of that possibility of going there. They were not trained for war. They were exhausted after their journey. Many of them would be afraid of that confrontation with the possibility of defeat coming from it. They were weary. And we can identify with them ourselves also, because we've been on another year's journey. It's had an effect upon us. We can go easily, very easily back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and read there the description of old age and the pursuit of years that is painted for us there in very picturesque language. The way in which the hair goes grey. The way in which the strength goes down. The way in which sometimes we so light in our sleep that we're wakened by the noise of the birds. So vivid a description of what old age brings upon us. It has been demanding on us this past year in so many ways, but our resources have become more and more limited. And now we face another cycle, another year. How are we going to fare? How are we going to cope this time? We can speak to our soul and we can encourage our soul, and we can say that our times are in God's hands, and that indeed is a comfort to us. But there are times, we know them ourselves, there are times when fear creeps in upon us. Perhaps we acknowledge that fear only to ourselves, but we've all been there, we've all gone there, we know what it's like. Fear, being afraid of the future, comes upon us. What matters really then is, how do we handle that fear? What can we take with us into 2017? What can we learn from these people that will help us to go and step across that threshold? Well, the first thing I want to suggest from these words and from the experience here is that we need to accept God's gift. Verse 20 says, "You are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us." That land was God's gift to them. This year is God's gift to us. Our days, each one of them, as they come to us. And they come from a God who has redeemed us as he redeemed them. The Lord God displayed his concern for them, the way in which he redeemed them and brought them out of Egypt. He intervened to set them free. He intervened to defend them. He intervened to provide for them along that wilderness journey, 11 days, as a nation on the move. Sometimes we can think that we're all alone. Sometimes we can think that there's a gap or there's a break, or just simply a reduction in the care that the Lord God has for us that we've known from his hand in the past. And we've got to accept and we've got to tell ourselves that this, what we've got each day, This is God's gift to me, to you. And all that that day holds and all that day brings, it's his gift in his wisdom as the one who has redeemed us. If we trust and believe in him, it is his gift to us. There is nothing inadequate about it. There is nothing left out in that and from that gift. God, in his grace and in his love, has this for them. Has this for us. Accept God's gift from his hand each day as it comes to us. But not only that, we are here told to listen to God's word. What did God say to them, and what does God say to us as we face this future, this new year? He says to them, he says to us, don't be afraid. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And that was a very real experience to them when they faced the Amorites. A very real experience for them, because they were so inexperienced in matters of war and conflict. And they saw that they were not really a match if it were to come to a battle between them and the Amorites. So yes, this was a very real emotion and a deep felt fear with them. And the Lord is addressing it, and he's saying and speaking about it directly and specifically to them. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord has given this land to them. The Lord has set it before them. And we've discovered this so often in the past. The Lord says it time and time again to us, don't be afraid, for he will always give us a reason. There will always be a foundation of truth or principle on which we can rest. And he rests what he says to us. The one portion that many of us hold on to, go back and visit and take strength from time after time. Isaiah 41 verse 10, where the Lord says, fear thou not, for I am with you. There he gives the command, and he supports it with that simple, beautiful statement that he is present and that he is with his own. Therefore, there is no reason to be afraid. So here to these people, he is saying, in God's providence in dealing with them, you are where you are. In God's providence in dealing with you and with me, we are where we are. It's not an outcome of chance. It's not a combination of disjointed events. Where we are is God's purposes and plans for us. Therefore, he has said them, don't be afraid. We go down this year. We don't know what it holds. There are times when we will look back to tonight and remember what is said, and we can be bewildered. We can be unsure, and we can be possessed with doubts. We can even be afraid. And there is one great defense that will scatter that fear. We are where we are in God's wisdom. He has set their path and he has set our path. This is what he has said. I have set the Amorite mountain before you. I have given it to you. Whenever there is this fear for whatever experience, the year, whatever it might be that's coming before us, whenever that fear is powerful and felt by us, one of the best counsels that we can do is just simply to bombard that unease and fear that we feel. Bombard it with what we know and our practical testimony from the hand of the Lord in the past. Simply by asking ourselves questions. Where have you come from? The Lord took these people out of Egypt. And how did he do it? By the sacrifice of a Passover lamb. And the shedding of blood, and that blood applied to the doorposts as protection when the angel of death went through the land. The majestic way of God's working to bring his people out and to set them free. And when we take that and apply that same question in New Testament teaching to ourselves today, and we ask ourselves, where have we come from? The Lord has indeed set us free spiritually. He's taken us out of darkness and he has set us free from guilt and from sin. And how has he done it? At what cost has it been achieved? And these same questions bring a beautiful answer back concerning and focusing on the death of Jesus Christ, his Son. And there's something majestic. There's something in that gospel message that stops us in our tracks and makes us bow our heads, both in wonder and in worship. Where have you come from? Another question. Where are you going to? The Lord gave these people a promise and a commitment that they were going to the promised land with all the rich provision that it held to meet their every need. Where are we going? The believer, the Christian, is on the way to that celestial city. And he's going to bring his people into glory. It is a sure destination, and everyone will reach it who trusts in and relies upon the Lord. And who has arranged all of this journey? All of the detail, the big broad sweeps and the little minute details of the journey for you and for me. Who has arranged it? But the Lord himself. And then there is one beautiful final question. Who is with us on that journey but the Lord himself? Yes, he's arranged it. But he then comes. Hebrews chapter 8 tells us that he takes his people by the hand and he led them out of Egypt. What a beautiful symbolic picture that gives us of the way in which the Lord stays close by his people. The way the Lord is concerned and involved with them. The way in which he travels with them along that road. It's very simply brought out to us in verse 33 of this very reading. He who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tent in fire by night to show you by which way you should go, and in a cloud by day. The very symbolism of the Lord's presence with them. To guide them, to preserve them, to protect them in every way possible. Listen to God's word. Don't be afraid of the days to come, because the Lord has said it. Don't be afraid. Because he has set that land before them. The Lord has set the days before us. Yes. Accept God's gift, listen to God's word. And then we're told here, we can see something here about acknowledge God's loving kindness. Acknowledge God's faithfulness. Because so often we look upon ourselves as being either individuals or members just of a little congregation or a little community. And we've got to lift our eyes yet further still. And we've got to see that these people, and we ourselves also, we stand in a great line of Christian believers down through the centuries. And at the head of that queue, there is Abraham himself. Because that's what we're told about here. The way in which the Lord spoke to Abraham. He is described as the God of your fathers. He gave the promise to Abraham. And throughout the life of Abraham, this is the one quality that we saw coming to the surface time and time again. God's loving kindness. God's faithfulness to Abraham. No matter what the obstacles were, no matter what the problem was, the Lord answered them, the Lord overcame them. Even when it was impossible for Abraham and Sarah to see an answer to their question, to their problem, even to conceive of what the Lord would do to fulfill what he has promised, nevertheless, the Lord faithfully and lovingly made it possible for his promises to be fulfilled. Yes, we can stand today or tomorrow and we can look into this new year. We may even try to predict what might be there for us. But we can make sense of nothing. And we need to look round about us. To look at the company we are in. One person we go back to time and time again is Joshua. He says, I'm an old man now. But I have something I want to share with you and speak with you and tell you. As he speaks to these nation at that time and he says, not one word. Not one word has fallen to the ground of anything the Lord has said to you. That's the kind of faithfulness of our God. That's the loving kindness quality of our God. And that's only one man, Joshua, speaking. And there are so many more in this line who raise and speak of that same testimony. And yes, even ourselves tonight, standing as we are at the threshold of one year to the other, we can add our own little bit ourselves. As we look back over earlier days, as we look back and we see the way in which the Lord has been good and faithful to us. The way in which his promises have been fulfilled to us. And again, we can ask ourselves a simple question. Do you think after so much commitment and investment and involvement on the part of Almighty God, do you think for one moment that God is going to start now defaulting on these promises? He has been 100% all the way through. All that queue of people, all the way through the past years of your life. Now, when you cross from one year into another, do you think for one moment it is going to be different from the past? Yes. Their future was secure. God's gift. God's word. God's loving kindness and faithfulness. So therefore, where then did the fear arise? How did this fear arise? There's so much backup, there's so much to draw on, there's so much to strengthen, so much to support. Why are they afraid? If we think of the first thing as a future that is secure, the second thing we've got to look at is a memory that is faulty. A memory that is faulty. Remember what happened at Kadesh Barnea? They sent out this reconnaissance party. They went out and they reported back and they had something to tell. And they had something to show. It's a good land. And it's a land which they could say is backed up with rich pickings because they took back a sample of what was in that land for them to have. But what they said was rejected. The people were not willing to go down that road or to go down and into it. They rebelled, we're told in verse 26. Notwithstanding everything that has happened up till now, you would not go up. But you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. In these few verses that follow that, there's a great description given to fill out what that meant. There were murmurings and there were talkings and there were gossips going on in their tents about where the Lord had brought them up. Yes, he's brought us up only to deliver us the hand of the Amorites. Fear and panic was breeding there. Our brethren have discouraged our heart. The people are greater than taller. The cities are well up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. A breeding ground for fear to grow. And what should they have done? And when fear comes to visit us like this, what should we do? There was a fault with their memory. Take another book off the shelf. Take another book off the shelf and read what has happened to you in the past. They thought the Lord disregarded them, hated them. And for that reason, they were in the place they were in. But the reality was totally the opposite, because the Lord loved them. He loved them with a depth and with an intensity that was hard to put into words. We've seen it as there for us in so many different places through the book of Deuteronomy. A theme that comes out time upon time upon time. The love that the Lord has for his own. So many ways that could be illustrated from their experience. So many ways that we can illustrate it from our own. They thought that they were going to fall into the hands of the Amorites, when in fact the opposite was the reality. We read it there in verse 20. The Lord hath given them unto us. Verse 30. The same thing comes out. The Lord your God which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Yes, that's what they should have been remembering and reading about. How often then they could look back and see the way in which the Lord had delivered them out of so many different situations. The way in which the Lord has delivered us out of so many different situations in our past. They had a memory that was faulty. But you know, there is still a measure of unbelief and rebelliousness even in the saint of God today. Still has an effect. Still distorts spiritual reality. Yes, they had the grapes, but they talked of the giants. They spoke about the good land, but they spoke about their graves in that land. They multiplied up the strength of the fighters, the city walls, the fighting capability and capacity of the people. Instead of listening to what the Lord had said, they were promoting what others were saying in its place. Their memory was faulty. So can ours be. It can be like a sieve, and things can go through it. So therefore we must deliberately, quite deliberately grasp and hold on to the tokens of God's goodness to us in our lives. Remember what happened when they crossed the Jordan later on. They were going to build a cairn. And the cairn was going to be there as a physical reminder and a memorial that this is what the Lord had done. He brought us across this river, this portion of water, and this is the cairn to remind our generation of children yet to come of what he's done for us here. They built a cairn. We need also to build a cairn ourselves. A cairn built of the stones of the way in which the Lord has thought of us, blessed us, enriched us, because our memory can so often be faulty if we don't deliberately furnish it in this way. And how we need to grasp hold of these things, that they do not slip through our fingers, that we're not losing them along the way. Because when we do lose them, then that's the opportunity for fear to creep in, to disturb us, to unsettle us. The starting point. Remember what Psalm 121 says. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. Fix our eyes upon the Lord and what he's done for us. Because when the Lord is on the field, when the Lord is in play in our lives, then everything is so different. We're told here about the way in which he cares for them. He cared for them as a father does for their son. You think of these 100 miles, that 11 days journey. You think of their wilderness journey there and then. The Lord behaved as a father to them, providing for them along that way. Every single day, the Lord was there to look after them in countless ways and paths in that wilderness. There were dangers, there were threats, and the Lord was there on hand for every one of them. That's the way to remove fear from the future. We have that assurance of his presence with us. And we must make sure that our memories are furnished and retain what he's done for us in the past. We were thinking just recently about Benjamin in our studies in Deuteronomy. About Benjamin and the way in which the Lord had spoken and the way in which the Lord had given a very specific encouraging benediction upon Benjamin. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Safety is there assured to Benjamin, as safety is assured to every one of God's people, because God will always be there to cover Benjamin and to cover the Christian day after day. As we said then, there may be times, only now and again may we be aware or conscious of the Lord's presence in that capacity to look over us and to protect us. Only now and then are we aware of that invisible shield around God's people. But the times when we don't see it or are not aware of it, the Lord is still there, but not seen. And we need to keep our minds fixed on these things. We need to protect our minds and our memories from the pressure and the dilution and the distraction of the world round about us. And so we will indeed be at peace as we face the future and a new year. Yes, the future was secure. Yes, they had a faulty memory. One last thought before we close. Nevertheless, they had a fearful loss. This morning we were talking about the decisive census that was conducted, and the way in which it was conducted with a very specific purpose, to allocate the land and to find out and to examine exactly all that were rebels had been removed from their company. Well, here we have at Kadesh Barnea another decisive moment. If we can put it like this, a table has been set out in front of every one of the nation. On that table there is rich spiritual food displayed. God's gift of the land assured to them. The cast iron promises backed up with the character of God. Their own gift, their own experience that they can draw on of God's faithfulness and God's mercy to them down through the years. They can speak to their soul as we speak to our own soul, and we can say, do you remember when? Do you remember when? And we can fill in the spaces ourselves. The Lord spreading out symbols and evidence of his love to his people. When you look at different pictures of art, there are some pictures where there's rich colors all over the place. But there are other pictures where often it's just simply a single stroke of the artist's brush changes a whole scene forever. Just one stroke. That breaking in of the word of the Lord, that intervention, provision, protection by the Lord, that single display of his love changes everything for us. The table is set, spread with wonderful, rich food for their soul. Every one of them is sitting at that table, and on one side there sits anxiety and fear. And on the other side of them sits peace and quietness from the Lord. Which one of these two companions will travel with them from that confrontation? Which one will travel with us into 2017? Isaiah tells us in chapter 26, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Yes, there they have it. A table spread. But there was a fearful loss, because in but a few minutes they lost what they could have and may have enjoyed for many years. In that moment of rebellion, but a few moments, they lost what they may have enjoyed for many years. We are reminded, and with this I'm closing, we're reminded with what the Lord said towards the end of John's Gospel. Chapter 14 says these words, speaking to the disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That gift of peace is set against all the troubles they're going to go through and the fears they're going to experience. And the gift of peace that he gives to them, and he gives to every one of his believing people still, that gift of peace is more than equal to whatever came to them and comes to us. Whatever 2017 might hold for us, whatever 2017 might bring to your life and mine, to disturb us to the core. On this, we can rely. The peace that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to every one of his children is a peace of a spiritual quality, so different to anything else that is available. That's the gift of peace the Lord gives to as many as trust in him. But that gift is given only to those who trust in him. And as we go through the year and as it opens up and unfolds before us, that assurance of peace and his presence with us will banish fear and dread and anxiety. But that gift, as we said, is only for those who trust in him as they go through and into this new year. Let us pray then. Lord, our gracious God, we thank thee for the way in which thy word meets us in the very point of our need, for the way in which thou dost speak to us, and the way in which that message that comes to us brings a challenge as well as a comfort. And so, Lord, may we hear not the word of man, but the word of our God this night. And we pray, Lord, that as we step out into this new year, we may do so trusting and relying upon thyself. And we ask, O Lord, that we might be kept safe and protected from all the threats that might be set against us. And that on each and every day we might be able to bear witness and testify that hitherto the Lord has helped us. Grant thy blessing upon thy word. Grant thy blessing upon us, thy people. And pardon us the multitude of our sin. For we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We close tonight by singing from Psalm 62. Psalm 62, and we're singing from verse 5. From 5 through to 8, my soul, wait thou with patience upon thy God alone. On him dependeth all my hope and expectation. He only my salvation is, and my strong rock is he. He only is my sure defense, I shall not moved be. In God my glory placed is, and my salvation sure. In God the rock is of my strength, my refuge most secure. Ye people, place your confidence in him continually. Before him pour ye out your heart. God is our refuge high. 62 then, from 5 through to verse 8, 4 stanzas. My soul, wait thou with patience. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.